Welcome to Digital Value Creation. This channel is a collaboration between me and my brother. He's in AI hardware, and I work for an AI software company. In this channel, we cover the impact of AI in business, on our careers, on our future. In the last couple of weeks, we both were at AI events. I covered the Saudi Leap Summit last week, and he just returned from a Wharton Gen AI course. So, brother, what have you been up to?
I had a chance to go to San Francisco and attend Wharton's inaugural Gen AI for Business Transformation course. And we had amazing participation from about 50 global executives from different industries, different countries. And we had folks who are leading AI innovation in their startups, large high-tech companies that are recognized for their contribution, as well as folks from heavy industrial and government. As you can imagine, that led to very interesting discussions, very different perspectives, as well as challenges. And some of those discussions were really centered around what's going to be AI impact on talent. Will that be a replacement? Is it going to be an augmentation? How quickly we will see the impact? Is the technology really ready to drive productivity?
Speaking of productivity, I understand you guys talked about a study that looks into that, how productivity shifts and changes with the AI. What was that all about?
It was very interesting. They actually engaged Boston Consulting Group, one of the top consulting firms globally. And they divided the consultants into a group. One group had access to leading model like GPT-4. The other had to rely on their knowledge, talent of a specific industry. Both groups got the same task, actually a very realistic task, to create a business plan with specific areas to focus on. It was eye-opening that the team that had access to GPT-4 did not just finish the task faster, about 25% faster, or they were able to actually do deeper and more detailed research. But when they compared the quality and evaluated at the end, this team outperformed the other that did not have access to AI, but about 40%. I mean, think about it. These are already one of the best consultants. So a 40% performance increase, even with the current state of technology, this is amazing. And one of the most memorable takeaway for me was not just the speed and quality increase. What they find that AI really served as a performance leveler. Basically, when they started the study, they did a pre-assessment and see how consultants normally would approach these tasks. What is the quality they perform? And what they find that Gen AI really helped those who performed at this initial assessment at a lower level, basically the worst performers. And what they find that they actually level the playing field. And those who had access to GPT-4 almost cut off with those top consultants who did not. They measured around a 40% increase in overall performance and productivity.
If you think about it, this can really change how you think about sourcing talent. Some of the analysts in the study, I understand, had English as a second language, or maybe they had poor English, yet they performed the task with AI flawlessly. This means that you can hire anyone from anywhere who has access to AI, and they can do as good a job as an analyst in the States. And this could really shift white-collar job markets, right?
Now, think about what this study means for your team. I mean, since I finished the course, that's one of the key thoughts I have in my mind. Because sometimes under pressure, we tend to go back to the same folks. We tend to go back to folks who were already top performers in a specific area and overload them. So what if now that we can give access to these tools to our whole team, we can actually challenge and engage others and let them rise up? Because with this performance leveling, this is where we can see some of the biggest performance jump. But the other discussion that came up as well, that this is not just about pure performance. It also can help to overcome limitations that might challenge some part of our teams or businesses. And the specific area is around language. I mean, these models, large language models, naturally fantastic at leveling the playing field about richness of expression, command of English language. And since they are available around 130 countries or more, depending on the model, this will be a significant leveler of performance. Now, maybe it's also worth thinking about that there's an immediate impact and maybe a long-term impact. I think immediately that opens the door. That opens the door for team members who want to take on more, learn more, leverage these tools. I think they can rise up in performance, they can rise up in impact, and hopefully based on that recognition. So I think there will be a fantastic period where some of our teams can do more, be recognized for it, and drive efficiency. On the long run, I think it will also create a downward pressure on potentially salaries, recognition of top performers, because as the playing field is leveled, it's going to be interesting for how long we are willing to invest extra to compensate for something that will be a lot more competitive, a lot more available.
This makes me think about the pressure on salaries on a global scale. Last week, I talked about how AI levels the global playing field for talent and competition. We are no longer competing with someone in the same town. We're competing with someone with AI anywhere in the world. At Leap in Saudi, we talked about the global north and the global south in AI, how the West always had a huge advantage in technology. Now, with AI being generally available, especially with open source, this can really level the global competition and competition for salaries, for customer outcomes. So what else did you guys learn at this course?
We also had a lot of discussion about, is Gen AI a talent augmentation or a talent replacement? And I mean, the current state is definitely an augmentation. But when you look at specific tasks, it can replace some tasks. And in some areas, it can really make a significant difference. The tricky part is, it's hard to know today, where can you really rely on that replacement? Where can you really trust these Gen AI tools to perform well?
It's interesting. You talk about the portfolio, or like take different things. Some things for education, efficiency, something for real business impact. Somebody somewhere, I can't remember where it was, but sure enough, a year into this change, somebody came with the 4E strategy. And the observation was that everybody goes through the four stages, according to this theory. But in general, if you look out there in business or by the consumer space, people are in different stages of Gen AI adoption. And the idea was the 4Es were, you go through the stages of entertainment. You're trying the technology. You like it. It's sort of where it started. It started in the consumer space. We forget. And you like it. You create pictures. You create, poems. And then you go into education, which is the second E. You want to learn more about it. You learn prompt engineering to some level. Hey, you get into fine tuning. You may even upload your own data to enrich the model. It may not be RAG in the corporate sense, but you're learning how to provide more insight for the AI to work with. So you go through this education phase. You get good at it. You understand the basics. And then you move on to efficiency. You actually get better at your job. You're saving time, energy, effort. But you accrue it personally. Like, I work 2 hours less. Great. But saving hours is not the company's job, right? Like, that's not why the company's in business. The company's trying to do some outcomes, patient outcomes, profit, customer service. And that's where you get into the fourth E, effectiveness. So you move beyond efficiency, I do my job better, but you actually move the needle somewhere in a metric that matters to the business. And it's really interesting to think about these four stages, because I do think, and somebody was joking around it, like, on an average day, 90% of the population is in entertainment, and the rest of the population goes to education, efficiency, and effectiveness. And I think in business, which is perfectly fine in consumer space, but in business, we should think about how we move up. How do we get to efficiency and effectiveness, which is sort of stuck with me because I like 4Es, but also because it's sort of an interesting way of thinking about the challenge of moving up. Because when we talk about experimentation to scaling, it sounds a little scientific, and it isn't. It's just how we evolve as humans around new information. So that was interesting to me.
Actually, that was also a key aspect of the study. They called it the jagged edge of technology, that there will be some areas where these Gen AI tools will surprise us and really impress what is possible. And there will be some baffling areas where we see that how comes it cannot do simple computations without using tools. So there is no easy way to know that without, I would call, playing with it. I mean, I love the framework that Thomas talked about. I think we all go to this 4E, from entertainment, when we just to start to experiment playing personally, then to education, when we start to have a little bit more structured approach, learn about it, understand the boundaries, and test the boundaries. This is when we experiment. To the point where the BCG study pointed to, which is getting to efficiency, where we all of a sudden start to find areas where we can integrate them into our day-to-day life. If you remember our last discussion, we gave you the AI-first challenge, that what if every task that crosses your desk, you try to solve it with AI? Because I find myself that was my best way to learn, when it's working and when it's failing. And that helped me to integrate it a lot more in areas where it really produced a difference. Because ultimately, that's what's needed to reach to the ultimate level, the effectiveness, where we can really use AI to drive the same impact we saw in a study. I mean, imagine if you can save 25% of time in any task while improving the quality. I mean, I would love to do that.
So did you guys also talk about the risks of AI and why we're not moving faster, why we're not scaling faster?
One of the most engaging conversations we had is, what is preventing us to really scale or adopt these technologies in our companies? And this is where I was very grateful to have very different perspectives, from governments to heavy industrial companies to leading startups and high-tech innovators who deployed AI in many areas. Because what we find that it's not what we expected. I mean, we have many discussions already about how to mitigate the problems of bias, copyright issue, IP ownership, or hallucinations. And the good news is, there are research and very focused solutions already there. And I think it's probably worth to have a follow-up session just on that. But what we find universally is the biggest challenge is explainability. I mean, one of the features of these models is that they will come up with answers. They have an inherent creativity and an inherent randomness. And that leads to a significant challenge. If you think about how we approach technology, it's a little bit convoluted. On one hand, we tend to trust technology more than humans. Hey, this answer is coming from a system. It's coming from an algorithm that is tested. And because of that, we have a very high expectation about accuracy, about precision. And if the system doesn't deliver that, we can completely lose trust. And this is why in self-driving, we want these systems to not just perform better than human drivers, we want these systems to perform perfectly. And the same applies with some of our expectation with Gen AI tools. So that's going to be probably the biggest adjustments. And to be fair, we have to be very thoughtful when we look at use cases. I think fault tolerance, which is where can we accept a mistake? Where can we accept that we need to have a human feedback, maybe a human validation or a systemic validation before we act on the results, where this is reasonable and where this is not. And I mean, we mentioned self-driving. Of course, I would love if we get to perfection in self-driving. I don't want to be endangered by the car. But how about creating a sales campaign? What about creating a marketing message? What about creating a translation? Those are areas where maybe perfection is not the ultimate goal, even coding. Maybe you just need to exceed human level performance, and that already can create value. That was, I think, for me, one of the biggest things to think about, that how we prioritize these use cases, how we deal with this balance of is good enough, or it needs to be perfect.
I love your comments about explainability. It's amazing to me that we use a technology universally. There are hundreds of millions of people using a tool that we cannot actually explain. So maybe that's a discussion for a future episode. But it does sound like this course was amazing. You learned a lot. So was there any homework?
We got a great challenge from our instructors, which is great. We learned a lot. We had amazing, rich discussions. What do we do with it? How can we make it actionable? And I think we all walked away with at least three goals. Number one, let's get into experimentation and education, and let's have our team go there. And this is important because, as we mentioned, we need to discover what works, what doesn't work. And it's impossible to discover it from just reading or listening. It's more about really trying out things to learn where AI can exceed expectation and translate into an immediate benefit of productivity and performance, and where today we still have limitations that we need to overcome, or where a traditional system is a much better choice. And the other part was that how can we have a portfolio approach? How can we engage our teams in a learning journey very quickly? Again, it's a very low risk proposition. But also maybe pick one or two, not too many projects, where we can take a step back and look at where AI can really disrupt or replace major element of the end-to-end process. Or how can we re-engineer a whole process with a new perspective? Because all of a sudden we have tool sets that can solve problems that were not solvable before with traditional systems.
So maybe in an upcoming episode, we should cover how people actually are making an impact, how companies are moving the needle. And we can't cover it from our own companies, so we're going to find examples out in the open. And there are many. So how all of this experimentation and education and effectiveness actually leads into business results. And a big conversation, and maybe it's a whole deep dive also, is this conversation about AI agents. So there is a lot of movement now away from content to actually taking action. So there's an underlying technology, of course, that needs to enable that. So we'll dive into that. But also, what kind of actions do you want to take? Where do you want to move the needle? How do you get out of the education experimentation phase into changing processes, making a bigger impact on day-to-day life? So we'll cover all of that in an upcoming episode. It was great to have all of you. Talk soon.